Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is A Good Story is a Good Story, and it's Marcia Cook, and we have a very special show tonight, and we'll talk about that in a minute. This is a live show, and we're starting out at the right time. I know sometimes it happens when we all get the wrong times because we're all over the place, everybody. So it is 8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern, it's 7 Mountain, and now we're 6 Pacific. And I'm going to talk about just a few of our little things here for the show so you'll know what's going on for the week. And then I'm going to bring Cindy Cinto on, and she's got a lot to talk about. So we're going to have a good show. And Marnie McNiff is on the tweets. And if you're on Twitter, it's World of Ink Cheating Husbands is the hashtag. And Marnie will be manning that. And we also, I'm going to open the chat room in just a couple seconds. I think it is open, actually. Let me just check and see if I did the chat room. It is open, so let's see. I think there was somebody in there before, so I just want to make sure the chat room is open. And Cindy will be taking calls. And let's see, it's open. Okay. Yeah, you have some guests in there. Okay, all right, here we go. Let's see, this week has been a really busy week. We have Cassandra Dane had a show on Sunday, and it was a great show. And all our shows are on demand, so you can always listen to them. It was a really wonderful, The Edge is her show. Then we have, let's see what we have this week. Okay, today's Tuesday, then Thursday we have Fran Lewis on. And Fran Lewis has her very special mystery. It's Mystery Thursday, and actually on this show what they're going to be doing is talking a lot about character development and the villain and the hero, so it's going to be really very interesting. She's got like a lot of guests, several guests this time, and she's going to be, it's a mystery like her usual Thursdays. I think she has them every so often, and it's going to be great. It's on 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 Central. And then, let's see, okay, then we have our Paranormal Hour, which is going to be with Tracy Ford on the show. She's the guest, and she is the head of Southern Ohio Ghost Hunters, and that's going to be Willow Cross's show, and that is also her co-host is J.H. Glaze, and it's going to be a great show, and I'll be there too, probably in the chat room listening, and I'll probably maybe go in and out, and it's going to be a really good show. And let's see what else we have. Oh, yes, and we have next Monday is we're having it on a Monday instead. It's Virginia and I are going to do a breast cancer awareness, which you always have, and Carol Pressel will be our special guest, and she's been here, knock wood, for the last 3 years, and she'll be on. It's at 8 o'clock Central, and so we got a really full-packed schedule here. And Marnie, how are you? Marnie, I didn't get to say hi to you.
I'm good. How's everybody?
Everybody is good. All right, so there are people in the regular chat room.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to go on Twitter, you can go in. If you're on your Twitter account, you can go into World of Ink Network. I think it's just World. World of Ink. Cheating Husbands, right?
We're following the hashtag right. World of Ink Cheating Husbands. So if you have any questions on anything we're talking about, feel free to send a tweet, and we'll get your questions answered.
What we're trying to do now is have a lot of, you know, a participation, and people can call in, and that's what we've been doing lately. And we're at, Virginia and I had a couple launches, and for some of the children's books, and they're very successful. So we've been having those for people to have their new books out, and it's really a lot of fun. And Marnie will be joining me on some of them, and Virginia will be joining. But even our shows, we're going to try. I am doing the tweet chats, because I think it's really good to have audience participation, and tonight you are definitely going to want to be participating in this, because, all right, Cindy, how are you?
Yes, hello.
Cindy.
You have a lot going on. Yeah, I walked in the door from a five-hour drive home, and I obviously didn't plan for hail, sleet, rain, and a jackknife tractor-trailer in the mountains.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. The good thing I got a new vehicle recently because it was like doing one of those video games, driving through an obstacle course.
Listen, the weather is strange all over the place. I mean, it's hot, it's cold, it's whatever. But all right, you have a great story. But I'm going to just say how I met you, okay, how we got into this.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, a couple years ago, a friend of mine was going to have a transplant. So I was on, you know, the internet as always, just looking around. And I came across your name, and it said you had a heart transplant and you were doing well. And it was really interesting, and I was in it. Then all of a sudden, I think it was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, I get online and I'm looking and I see you have a post out there and it said you've been married 37 years and your husband left you. And I went, oh, my God, this must be the same person. So I went like, oh, I felt horrible. So I didn't know what to say. I said, oh, fine. I remembered it was you. And so I sent you a tweet. I sent you a message, a Facebook message, and said, you know, because what you have been through is a lot worse than anybody can imagine. You've had two transplants now that I found out, two of them. So you'll tell everybody about that and about your husband. And anybody listening that has questions, this is a very strong, tough woman who's making it through. I mean, she's made it through two, you know, transplants, so she could definitely make it through her marriage problems because you got guts. All right, go ahead. Tell everybody your story.
Well, I'm proud to say I'm going to be 53 in November. And I relate very well to Marcia because I'm a New York Italian. And back in New York, you were either Italian or Jewish. That was it. You know, that's the population. And we're loud, we're boisterous, we throw our hands up in the air, and we walk away happy, you know. But I've been married, actually in May it was 31 years, but together for 37. And I live out in Washington State. I've been healthy my whole life. I was always thin, organic, vegetarian, you name it, goody two-shoes. And the week after the 9/11 attack in New York City, I was getting ready to take my son to the county fair. I mean, he was, I think, at that point, ten. And, you know, we didn't have fairs to go to in New York City. It was just like, what is a fair? I've never seen a live cow. The only meat hung in the butcher shop. And so we were going to the fair
in the
9/11.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Hey, I know how to ride horses. I had horses in New York City. But a week after the attack on 9/11, I had the first of many heart attacks, close to 25 over 3 years. No reason for heart disease, no family history, no high cholesterol, no high blood pressure, organic mostly vegetarian, never smoked, never drank, just the person at 40 years old who would never look to have a heart attack. Nobody even checked me because I was so healthy. And that first heart attack was the Widowmaker. It almost killed me. And I said, okay, I'm going to just kind of get off and dust the dust off of me and move on. I don't know what that was that just hit me, but, you know, whatever it was, I'm still here.
Oh,
and I
boy.
Didn't have lifestyle changes to make. But then over a matter of 3 years, I had about 25 heart attacks, 30-something angioplasties where they go in and repair the heart. I was considered full metal jacket. My main blood vessels were lined with so many metal stents that I could laugh at a good joke. And one of them would pierce the artery, and I'd be dead instantly. I have been cloned in 2003. A doctor from Germany came here and operated on me and cloned my heart blood vessels synthetically with no DNA. And I went under. Now, I had to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania. What a shame. Good chocolate. And live there 6 weeks. But yeah, I know. But it was, I had to let the pilot know when I got on that plane from Washington State that there was a good chance they wouldn't be landing at their destination, that I could be having a heart attack at any moment. And it was true. It wasn't even like, had nothing to do with exaggeration, that's for sure. Got out there in a wheelchair and had this surgery, and it's on my website, cindycinto.com, Marcia put, or if you can't spell it, it's aheartlikemine.com. And when you go to community, there's lots of news and media. And you can see a picture of a brand new bypass for my heart that grew in 4 days.
Wow.
4 days. It will eliminate open heart surgery one day. So I went through that. I thought I was okay, but then more heart attacks came. The FDA would not approve it yet. And then finally I needed a heart transplant. This was 2005. I had died 3 times. The second time I was saved. People say I have a morbid sense of humor. I said the second time was really cool. I really met God. He's like really rustic looking, you know. He's got that brown curly hair, that Jewish look. And if we were just kind of watching everything. You know, it was like they were filming a movie and we're watching it. And I'll tell you what, that was 9 years ago. And I'm getting ready for a possible interview on a TV series on near-death experience. I can tell you, I was gone for a bit. And I can tell you, every person there to this day, what they said, what they did to me in the time on the clock, exactly. I wasn't hallucinating.
You knew it. You saw what they
did. I knew it. I was just hovering over my body. There was a white behind us. But it wasn't time for me to go. I'm too stubborn. I'm from New York. And then my doctor came in the next day, and he goes, "You're not dead yet."
Yeah.
I know he regrets
it's
that, but
it. It's good that you have a sense of humor, because I almost think you have to go through all of this. Because
you have to.
The truth is,
yeah.
There is a lot going on at the time. You're laughing, but at the time, it's traumatic. And,
yeah, and
you know,
right now, I'm in the middle of a very painful separation and divorce. And so, but you know, I just got back from a retreat, and what was the theme of it? It was sheer beauty. And as for women going through these trials, how to get your heart back where it belongs. How to find the power, how to find the strength, not to be rebellious and kick everybody out of your way, but to be who you need to be. And so I went through this transplant. I made it. Nobody could believe it. Oh, actually, okay, wait, I died first. Let me see. No. But I went through all this stuff, and then I needed the transplant. And, of course, there were 70 people ahead of me in the Northwest. Organ donation is a crisis in this country. And I won't get on the whole thing, but 18 people die every day, mostly for lack of people willing to be donors. And I don't want to hear this nonsense about, oh, they'll take me before I'm dead. Absolutely not. This is the United States. We're not talking any other country. And there isn't a hospital or paramedic in this country who would take somebody before it's time without dozens of medical personnel. It doesn't happen. And you can't buy an organ. I always tell people, what are you going to do? Go in a closet. The guy's going to slit himself open, give you the kidney, and you put it in? No. You know, it would take a whole operating.
They've seen these things on TV, and it's, you know, it's things that really don't
happen.
Oh,
the movies that are there and the false stories that doesn't happen. I do organ donation education, businesses, colleges, high schools. I love it. In fact, the high schoolers are better than the adults usually.
Yeah.
But
well,
anyway,
yeah.
So you had
a second transplant on top of this all.
Yeah, I got a heart in July 2005. It came with cancer. It was terribly damaged the way the poor gal died. She had a massive stroke, but it had to be sewn, wires put in. It had a blockage in it, and it had cancer. I went through months of chemo. I survived, and you know, they gave me 3 to 5 years the most, with last 6 months being a slow death. It is now 8 years this past July. I just got back from a retreat and then going to visit my heart donor's family, her mom and aunt and brother, and she lives on. Her heart's in me, and she lives on. I'm excited. I'm getting ready to write a fiction series based on people receiving organs, and it's never been done, but then I always do things. That's never been done.
Yeah, well, I would say...
Why not?
But, you know, it's very different now, you know, and when they have that newer transplant where they transfer, sometimes you can't find a donor yourself, then you
get... Yes, you can. They've done one time 12 kidney donations all simultaneously.
Wow.
Now, there isn't a lot of organs you can do that with. But so I get this heart. I deal with the cancer. I deal with all the repercussions of, you know, 35, 40 pills a day. I'm happy to be alive. I write my books. I start running around and doing encouraging talks, motivational, radio. I mean, I'm just me, myself, and I. And so I'm just whatever comes my way. I was a computer geek, and so I do freelance stuff. I teach at universities, blah, blah, blah. But October 2010, the slow death they promised me began. My body just rejected. I had to go on insulin. I had been a diabetic since age 10. But that didn't cause it. I mean, I actually got life insurance many years ago. Hope they're not listening. It doesn't matter. As a diabetic, and I got a discounted rate because I was so healthy.
Yeah.
So healthy. And diabetics don't usually even get life insurance. But I was so healthy, they gave it to me at a discount. They can't take it away, you know. I'm not going to die.
Things were different then, at that time.
Yeah. But my pancreas completely shut down. I was on IV units and machines keeping me alive. I still traveled. I still did what I did. But every hospital I contacted or went to, including Mayo Clinic, said, "We will not do a pancreas on you. You will die, live out your last few months, and be happy." maybe 3 to 6 months.
But the pancreas is very difficult. That's a difficult
organ
to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not an organ. It's just a gland, actually.
Well,
it's
right,
mushy.
But it's right,
yeah.
But it's very close to everything, and that's one of the problems,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah, I actually have two pancreases.
Is that true?
I love it. It yes.
Let me ask you that. Why is that, though? I mean, I actually know a story that I'm wondering with gallbladder, because somebody had their gallbladder taken out, they thought, but it really never was during an autopsy. I don't really know. See, Dad, these are the things that nobody knows. You're saying that you have two pancreases?
I have two. It's only been tried a few times in the entire world. I have done my research. I have contacted governments. And the only time they did a pancreas after someone had a heart transplant, the person was only 35 years old. It was this country, and they had a heart. They got a pancreas. It was 9 years later. They died on the table. So this on the government website, it says do not, capital N-O-T. They don't use caps. Government doesn't get excited. Well, let's not talk about that. do not do a pancreas on someone with heart disease who's had a heart transplant. I had to get doctors from Europe to do it. And I just happened to be doing a book tour
in
Florida.
But they did it in the States because...
They did it in Chicago.
Right, which is what you said. But the thing is that if you go to a foreign country or overseas, that you can't guarantee that a doctor here will take care of you later. That's what
happens. It's very difficult.
It's very difficult to find a doctor here.
Yeah, as it is, my poor doctors, I mean, I still keep in touch with the European surgeons that go to Chicago. I have the heart transplant, and I have the kidney transplant doctor here that follows the pancreas. And a few weeks ago, my poor family doctor, who's the primary care, said to me, "I'm confused." Nobody really knows who's in charge.
Yeah,
and none of them
want to
do anything with the other one's permission.
Well,
because
they got to document everything, and
they wanted a certain level a few weeks ago, and one wanted 5, one wanted 7, one wanted 8. I took the 3, I averaged it, and I said, that's the level I pick.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, you're very upbeat. You're hip. You're sounding great now. Okay.
Oh, I'm
now,
sounding much better.
You have
than
a husband. Wait, you have a husband that was with you during all of this.
Yes, I did. Well,
okay.
Yes,
right,
did.
Right. And so that you did. No. Okay. So was he helpful, or were you just there for yourself? Because sometimes it doesn't. Even if men are there or women, whatever, they can't do what they need to do to help a person adjust.
Yeah. I understand that because I've actually endorsed books that very high-profile writers have written on caregiving. I write for a magazine that comes out about caregivers taking – so I know it's difficult. I have friends going through that with other spouses, but I will say, okay, we were married 31, been together 37. I don't understand this. My husband is 54. I'm not going to get into details of it.
Right.
We're right in the middle of a legal situation. But
right.
I can. Everybody says I can't. I can comprehend the ongoing care or fear. Am I going to lose my spouse? Why am I bothering? They're going to die. I can understand a lot of that stuff. I've talked to people about it.
Right.
In sickness and health. He's not having good health right now. I wouldn't turn my back on him. And I'll tell you something. When you have two married people and somebody is ill, it is possible for the person who's taking care of them and the person who's ill to make it easier on each other. It is possible.
Yeah.
I am very upbeat. I mean, I fractured my leg a year after my heart transplant, stealing coconuts in Florida. Long story. And
wow.
I know.
You have to write fiction.
10 movies.
Really,
okay?
But your fiction is going to be like the truth. I mean,
I can't wait. The first book is almost done. I know. And I might just publish it myself. I'm tired of putting proposals in and begging. I might do it myself.
It does get
but
old.
I do that for
okay,
other people.
Okay, I forgot to say something. Okay, for people out there that are authors also, because we have a lot of authors that listen to our show, because that's really basically what we always talk about and things like that. But we do have, Willow Cross does format books now for Creative Space, she just did my series again, because people don't want to wait for publishers. It takes too long, and you really want to get out there.
No, I teach classes on why.
And Willow Cross does a great job. So I always like to add that in, because we have – people that I don't do a lot of this, but there are people that we can send people to that will
yeah.
do the job, because a lot of the people out there charge too much money and they don't do
oh
the job.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I probably have the cheapest prices online. I just enjoy it. I teach at conferences all over the country. On my website, cindycinto.com or heartlikemind.com, I have a little logo for my business. I'm a little busy right now, but it says Adelphos Books up in the right. Yeah, and I just I'm contracting to ghostwrite a book. I can do, my son does book covers. It is not hard to do, but too many people have jumped on it, and they're charging what it would cost to go to a publisher.
Yeah.
That's not economical, and I love to help authors, but, you know, it's a great thing, and yeah.
Yeah,
so
right,
you know,
there's a lot of things out there. That's why, you know, I mean, a lot of times, you know, this is what people need. So, you know, they
yeah,
need someone
yeah.
helping
and, you know,
them.
Yeah, and it's no fun thing going with a royalty publisher, the big guys, because, you know, if you're not known, and I teach this, and you go with a royalty publisher, and you wait forever, you wait 2 years because you're a nobody, and they can change just about anything and put your name on it. You don't get to pick what cover you want or whatever you like. There's a lot of drawbacks. And then it comes out. And if they put an ad in their catalog, you're expected to pay for that ad. You know, and you have to do all your own marketing. It's not the economy it was years ago. So why not do it yourself?
I mean, you've got so much
yeah.
going on. I mean, it's amazing, you know, and thank
oh.
God you do. You know, I mean,
you know,
no, it's
my doctors always say to me, how do you do all this? And I said, I don't know. I just get up and do it. You
yeah.
know, what choice do I have? But
Marnie,
yeah,
does anybody have a question out there at all?
Not yet. Not so
okay.
much yet.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I
want to ask Marnie a question. Marnie, because you're very health, you're very into health and you exercise and all of these things. Do you want to ask anything? I mean, because, you know, for Cindy at all? I mean, because of, you know, what we always talk about, the things about food and whatever. Is there anything you want to ask
yeah,
her?
Yeah, I guess what I would like to know, I mean, I'm like you. I think I live a very healthy lifestyle. I
yeah.
exercise. I eat well. What were your first symptoms? Like, did you know immediately that it was a heart attack, or were there symptoms that you didn't, I mean, because they
no.
say, especially with women, the symptoms can be normal things that we have
yeah,
every day.
Yeah. You know, I will say something, and that will not be politically correct, but
okay.
I have had a bout with breast cancer, so I am proud to say it, but I will tell you that heart disease kills 500,000 women a year. Breast cancer kills 43,000 women a year. Now,
yeah.
it is a horrible
okay.
thing.
I had people on with a heart show, and that is the truth, you know. And
yeah,
I
speak all over. I speak for the American yeah. Heart Association. The AHA cannot do enough. I have been a keynote speaker for Go Red for Women in events as big as Las Vegas, speaking with Wayne Newton, but it doesn't get across. There's no funding. And I understand breast cancer.
Barbara Streisand, didn't she fund something? She funded a huge fund for heart condition because
yeah,
she
but,
knows,
yeah,
yeah,
but
she was
nobody
on TV
even knows.
Talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't think about it. We still think of it as the man's disease. And you know what? Women get closer to 35, 38. I was only 40. I had no reason. I had 25 heart attacks. I had no symptoms. I was exercising, healthy, happy, and whole. And then all of a sudden, one day, I stand up. And I've got this pressure in my chest, felt like somebody had their arms around me, choking my neck. No pain down my arm. I was nauseous. And I went to the ER 3 days in a row. Oh,
see,
it's acid reflux. Oh, it's stress.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hormones.
Oh,
that's
boy.
All I got over and over again.
Did they never
until
do a cardiogram on you? They never did
they
a cardiogram?
They did a cardiogram. They did an echo. They
did
everything.
Show?
Nothing showed up.
Shows.
Nothing. They did blood work. And I was having the Widowmaker at that point. The only, see, women, what they don't understand, women's blood vessels around their heart are much smaller than men's.
Yeah.
We take on everything. When we burned our bras, we got our freedom, but we lost the respect and the dignity women deserve. And it was like, okay, you can do it all. You can work, you can clean up the mess, you can take care of the kids, you can come home, make the dinner, pay the bills, do the shopping, blah, 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 on and on. So we forgot when we burned our bras to say to the men, this is an equal partnership. We're going to work together on this. And it goes against the grain. And it doesn't mean to be rebellious or to be submissive. It means that we have to take care of ourselves, but we don't. We don't. And I was taking care of myself. God forbid I hadn't been, I would have died I don't know, by the third
heart attack? That is what they say, right. Marnie, I mean, you know, you write articles also. You know, that is what they say, that, you know, that, you know, if you're somewhat healthy beforehand, then you can survive it. That's what they say.
Yeah, and I was. And I fought. And, you know, I keep telling everybody, I'm a New York Italian. We don't die easy. You know?
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, my God. You know, and you've been to – now, there is a caller. Do you want to take a call?
I don't know if they want to talk.
I don't know.
Hey, Marcia, we're Italian and Jewish. You just have five conversations at once. You know that.
I'm Italian.
Everybody tells two Italians
in
the room.
Hey, Marcia, did you have a question?
Shut up, guys. Hey, you ladies ever burp onions into each other's pussies?
Oh, not there, but I've burped onions.
Right,
but
off.
I don't
That's
do it,
it
that
I
way,
knew,
okay?
I knew.
See, men are handicapped.
You know, yeah.
Oh,
right, so
boy.
That
was a first for me on the show.
No, well, we can't. Yeah, Virginia and I have had that. I didn't know if I should, you know, but I figured, well, maybe just wants to ask a question. Lovely. You know, I mean, that's
men are handicapped.
So, all right, here we go. So, now that we got one of those live wires on there, okay, okay, so, all right, here we got one to prove what.
We're bringing out the worst in them, Marcia. We're letting them show their
true
colors.
Okay, so what do you want to tell to women? Because, I mean,
okay,
you know,
well,
this
yeah.
is a, it's really, I mean, you were suffering. I mean, you know, in what happened. Because it's not easy.
Yes, I've had 50-something surgeries, heart surgeries, 4 open-heart surgeries, died, heart transplant, cancer, pancreas transplant 2 years ago. And guess what? During this entire time, I made it easy as I could on my husband. I lived in Chicago by myself, so he wouldn't have to live there the whole time. He could have. His office is mobile.
Yeah.
I've taken care of everything I can. I earned the dignity and respect that I should have. Now this is happening. I am the healthiest I've been in my entire 53
years of life.
Well,
let's knock wood on that.
Well, you know, I am. I've been. In fact, people say to me, my gosh, you're healthier than you were when I knew you 40 years ago.
Do you think were you born? Like, see, that's what happens sometimes when people have things. They are born with them, and nobody knows it till it comes
out. I was. Ever since I was 9, I've had immune system problems. Rheumatoid arthritis, Graves' disease, had my thyroid out, had my gallbladder out, all sorts of things. And my mom had 6 children. They were Italians and on Long Island. Nobody else has the same problems. And I've never had high, you know, it's just something genetic happened to me. I don't know. She used to say I was a freak of nature because I've got webbed toes.
You know, I do think, though, that when people, you know, I worked in medicine for years. I was a lab technician. But it's very hard to, you know, let's say somebody that, I'll give an example. Somebody that I knew smoked forever, and he really smoked
a lot.
It was an uncle of mine, okay? His hands were like, okay. And, you know, when he died, they did an autopsy. His lungs were fine, and he was fine. You know, when he died at like 80 or something like that. It's very amazing. So I think probably part of the thing that's going on, what we're talking about now, is that, you know, you almost have to just go for life, and then whatever happens, happens, because you can't.
That's
if you stop and think about all the things that could go wrong.
You can't. You absolutely cannot do that. And I get up every morning. And, you know, I have my own freelance business. I'm a writer. I'm an author. I spent the past 2 years in a lawsuit with my publisher, so I haven't gotten royalties in 2 years. Another story, maybe another show about publishing. And
I'll have you on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, one of the owners of the publishing company is now in prison for raping little girls, so this is what I was dealing with. But I still make it happen every day. And I couldn't even be a greeter at Walmart if I wanted to, because I just never know. I never know what the day is going to bring.
Yeah.
But I get up every day, and
so you think some days you just don't feel well, but you just move on.
You just get up and do it. If Nike can do that, we can do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you can wear Nike
sneakers,
then
women
do
are
it.
Strong.
Yeah, we
you know,
are.
I don't know if
and
anybody, in, there's a lot of people in the chat room. I don't know if you have a question, you can ask, you know, or if you want, you know, if anybody in the, I'll be happy to put you on if you want, and you know, because I'm looking at the chat room for the show, and there are several people in there, you know, and they're listening, because I think it's almost, we're all listening to you, and we're all probably thinking the same thing. Yeah. Oh my God,
it is crazy.
And you know, people get upset if their nail breaks, you know. So
Oh my gosh!
But you are really. This is the power of women. This is what the show really is. It's about women. We do control relationships. I think we
That's
do.
That's right.
You know,
you know
a lot
we,
of
yeah,
times.
Yeah, we do. And I brought so much wisdom back from this conference, retreat for women. I was just at on a beautiful beach, but it was freezing. It was north of Seattle. But,
What did they say?
I'll tell you what, women, we didn't go back and analyze our childhood. I hate that stuff.
Yeah,
we didn't write a letter about why we hated our mother. What we did, when you were a little girl, what did you dream about doing?
Yeah, right.
What did you prance around with in your heart that you wanted to do with your life?
Yeah.
And we talked about that, and then we talked about how those things tend to get dashed on the rocks.
Yeah.
And what do you do when that happens? And you know this person who ran this retreat called Sheer Beauty. It was Sheer Beauty. She interacted with music,
well, you weren't,
video.
You, weren't going to, you just decided to go, though, right? You just, you
no,
weren't planning
I didn't even. I didn't even know about it.
Somebody
I
must
was
have
bawling
on Facebook
my,
told
I was, you. I was bawling my eyes out one day. I spent the first 10 days after my husband walked out in bed, devastated, thinking, I can put up with being dead. I can do all this, but I cannot. God in heaven that I've been relying on, I can't do this. You're 37 years together, a child, a wonderful life, problems like everybody else has, and the man takes a total 180 and leaves me. I wanted to die. I wanted to die. And then I'm looking on YouTube at this video that some young people have done for women and men, just about how you are, who God made you, and you have all this purpose, you have this calling, you have this, you have that. It was beautiful. And the woman running this retreat just happened to be on her computer looking at it at the same time. And I just happened to put a comment about how my heart was broken. And this video gave me so much encouragement about the worth of women. And all of a sudden, she was like, this little voice said, this woman needs to come to your retreat. It was full. The retreat was completely full. So she's not on Facebook. Her husband got a hold of me. They're high-profile people. And I was a nobody, didn't even know me, and said, we want to invite you to come. We're going to make a spot for you. We're going to pay for it.
That was so nice.
Yeah, and you know what? I said yes at first, but I didn't like how I was. I was vulnerable. I was paranoid. Didn't even want to leave my own house. I said yes. Some things went wrong with this ongoing drama that I'm dealing with. It's just brutal, and I panicked. And I was supposed to let him know by last Sunday, and I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm scared. I'm crying. I'm vulnerable. I don't know you. I don't know anybody there. I'm not doing it. And I said, I don't mean to be ungrateful, because it was 4 days at a beautiful place. And they pursued me. She called me Monday morning. I ignored it. I'm sorry, Lee, if you're out there. You know, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And then I finally listened to her message this past Tuesday. It starts Thursday. It's already full. And I called this woman, and she said, I said, I feel stupid, vulnerable. You're not stupid. You're not vulnerable. You're not pathetic. You're not a waste, and you're not falling apart. There's big plans for your life, and you got to pick yourself up. And I said, okay, I'm so sorry. It's too late, I'm sure. She goes, well, we gave your spot away, but the conference center was so impressed at how many people we signed up that they've given us a free one, and we can't fill it.
Right, so that was
who
nice.
Was it for? Me.
That was great.
Yeah, and so I got to go, and it changed.
So you sound,
saved my life.
You really sound like you've made a turn in the.
Oh yeah,
know.
When I talked to you the first time a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
I was just ready to die. I thought, okay, Lord, I you know, God in heaven, whoever, whatever, just take me. How much can I do? How much can I do? And you know, people say, well, oh, you know, God says He'll only give you as much as you can handle, but He gives you more. I said, you know what? I got a take on that.
Yeah.
He doesn't give you more. He gives you more, but it's not to destroy us. And especially as women, it's to make us reach higher. You know the little pole you go dancing under and it gets lower and lower to make it hard?
Yeah.
Well, we have to go
higher.
Oh,
you mean the limbo? Are you talking about the limbo?
The limbo thing,
yeah.
I mean, I'm getting old. I can't remember these things, you know? I got to start watching old movies again.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, instead the bar goes higher and higher, and we just have to reach higher and keep up with it and keep going. And I gave up everything. And I'll tell you, there's only three things that kept me alive as of like a month and a half ago. This is very raw and fresh. My heart donor, their family. My pancreas donor, her family. That was a national news story.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody that sees her picture said, oh, my God, we heard that story. And my son, who's 23. It wasn't me. It wasn't my dreams. It wasn't my story.
Right.
And this weekend, I learned, women, all you women out there, you have a story to live.
Yeah.
And there won't always be chapters that are wonderful and happy. And life stinks. And the pressures are enormous. And people look at me and say, we have no idea how you've done it. I mean, and I have a woman who's 88 years old. She said, I never thought I had anything new to learn until I met you. And I'll never complain
again. That's one of the interesting things about people is if they let themselves learn, they can. You know, it's like, listen, we'd all like to say we know a lot of stuff, but we really don't. You know, and like, I mean, even since I've been doing these shows for the last four years, every guest that I've had on, and I say this all the time, and because it's the truth, is that I have learned something from them, and I have met people for the last 4 years doing shows, and it's really incredible how many people are out there that, you know, can lift you up, can help you, but you really have to help yourself. But you have to be in that mood, too. You got to let yourself accept whatever it is. It's very hard to do that, though.
You know, it's only been maybe 5-6 weeks, and I'm already I'm back. These women just met me for the first time this past weekend. They didn't know anything about me. But when I got there, I could barely stand up straight. By the time I left Sunday, they said, you're back, aren't you? I said, probably 75%. And I want to help women not go through even the short period of time I went through this. I have a friend whose sister was divorced 8 years ago. She's still drinking. She's still not getting over it. And that's a life wasted. And you know what I did? With my husband walking out on me, I took myself out of my own story. I took my knowledge, my person, my dreams, everything out of my story and became an empty shell. And that's not what is meant for any woman. But it is painful. And you get all these people with all their ideas and what you're supposed to do. And what you're supposed to say and how you're supposed to act. And you know what I say? Listen to them, let it go, and do what you feel in your heart.
Yeah, I think
and
that's what people...
don't
but it is,
beat yourself
you know,
up.
It is difficult. You know, I think that that's a really great message for women because the truth is when you look in that mirror, you have to be happy of who you see. If you
are
in a miserable situation... you know, you need to get out of it because you don't have to be miserable. And it's not about vacations. It's not about clothes. It's not about jewelry. It's not about any of that. It's about ourselves.
No,
you know,
that's
being
right. I would live in a trailer.
I
would live in a trailer with the taillights on if my husband respected me, treated me with dignity. I know what I learned this past weekend. Isn't this true? Women open the doors that men walk through. We create the atmosphere at home. We prepare the dinner. They eat. Some women don't cook. But, you know, in other words, we're the facilitators. We have that ability for men. We also have the power in our life to change the world.
Yeah. I think that's true. And I think but it's hard, you know, when somebody's sitting there like you were. I mean, when I saw when I saw that online, I said, I'm pretty sure I know this is the woman that had the transplant because I am thinking what you went through, and then you're not going to let any man do this to you because you have gone through so much. I mean, because a transplant, you're talking about a transplant, but the truth is this is not easy, a transplant. You know, I mean, you have to go through, you know, different, you know, you have to meet different people because I was with my sister. She had, you know, passed away, but she was never going to be able to have a transplant. But she wasn't.
So
but I had gone with her, and it was a grueling day where you have to meet every doctor, and
hours and hours.
Hours.
Yeah.
It's not just that they say, oh, hello, how are you? You have to really do a lot of things, and you had double. And, you know, maybe you ought to talk about the Chicago part where you told me how nice you had somebody in Chicago that really helped you out, and there are good people.
Yeah. And, you know, I know what you're saying about that, too. And, you know, I'll tell you something. I was just in Florida, and knowing I'm going to die, and still out there speaking for organ donation awareness and doing book signings. And I just happened to run into a gal who just happened to know crazy European doctors, a Frenchman, a Bulgarian, and an Italian. I like to say walked into a bar, but it's true. Those are the three Europeans that saved my life. The next day they said, we're either really stupid or really crazy. I said, I'll take crazy. I don't think it's stupid. I'll take crazy. Here I was. I had to live in Chicago. And the first place I lived that was suggested was southeast Chicago by the Cook County Prison. Mm-hmm. And, the abandoned house hospital over there. It was near, like, Rush Children's Hospital. It was a bad area. It was, like, $50 a night. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure this is worth it because I got chased by a homeless guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I did it, but I looked up at this guy and I said, "Buddy, I'm not in the mood. I'll break you in two." Yeah. And he walked away. So, okay, that's not possible. But so yeah. then I go.
Well, I don't think many people would walk up to somebody and say that. So yeah.
Well, you know, and I had the only thing I had to eat, because there was nothing to eat anywhere, was a little bag with a lousy stink of meatloaf from the children's hospital that I figured was going to kill me anyway. You know, so. And then I get a respite guest thing in a nursing home, and $70 a night. I could have done better in a hotel. I get kicked out because the manager's crazy. So then I'm walking downtown Chicago in March. Okay, you're in Chicago right now.
I know. It's freezing
out. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's trying to get the train or the bus. I've got a 50-pound piece of luggage because who knows how long I'm going to live in Chicago. 25-pound backpack, and I'm dying. And I had nowhere to go. And Obama was in town, and so because he was in town, there was no hotels to be had. It's like, what, there's no room at the inn.
Yeah.
And I'm crying.
What happens is they block off every street. It's impossible to get anywhere.
Yeah, and I thought, where am I going
to
go? And it's raining, and I'm looking up. Well, my phone rings in my pocket. I stop in the middle of the sidewalk. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get knocked over by these, you know, people here. And it's the social worker from the hospital. It was after 5, but somebody heard my story. And I keep saying, I'm sorry, Oprah, it wasn't you, because, you know, you probably would have taken the credit, okay? Sorry you missed out on the opportunity. You should have taken it. But anyway, somebody heard my story, and they offered me a corporate apartment on the 38th or 40th floor of the Presidential Towers, downtown Chicago, gorgeous, furnished, two bedrooms,
nice.
Living
I know.
Room.
It's an amazing story.
Oh, yeah. And the whole living room was glass facing the city of Chicago for free for as long as I needed it.
But that's.
Oh, my gosh. Two conditions. I didn't know who they were, and I didn't thank them. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I was like the princess in the tower.
It's
and
amazing.
That helped save my life.
It's almost like your story is almost like. You almost can't even believe half of this, and the truth is it happens.
I know.
And so it's like things
you know,
do happen
I know.
To people. You never know.
Yeah,
luckily,
people say to me, yeah, you're a story writer. You're exaggerating. I don't have to.
Yeah, I know. No, I don't think you
I don't
have
to.
I don't think
you
can make all this up. No. So right now your goal is just to keep going on a daily basis, and whatever happens, happens, which I think is a good goal for everybody because we do not know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Okay, you just don't. And for women out there, I am seeing, and I know you and I talked about this, too many women being abandoned by their husbands after 20 years, 25. Yeah. I was married 31. I have some advice I really want to share because this has been almost the death of me.
Yeah.
Because I am like one of those fancy nitro race cars. They do a quarter mile race in 6.8 seconds. And it takes 2 hours to tune it back up and five men. Mm. And that's what my life is like right now. I take 45 pills a day.
Yeah,
I have three
kinds
of cancer.
About transplant. Right, it's a lot.
Yeah. And so the stress is our number one enemy when you've had a transplant. And how do you avoid the stress
when
the man you've loved all these years?
What do you tell people to do, I mean, to avoid the
through
stress?
Through good
I mean,
and bad. Yeah, you've been with this man through good and bad. You still love him. You've been betrayed. You've been tossed aside like a piece of garbage. You've been told another woman is better than you. Sometimes they're a slob. Sometimes they're whatever. Sometimes they're just someone you met on the street. And you're like, you're kidding me, right? And you have kids and a house. I mean, our house oh, my gosh, what do you do? There is nothing worse. And I've had pancreas surgery, transplant, almost the most painful surgery in the world. Nothing compares to this.
So pancreas is very. I was really shocked with it because pancreas is. I didn't really realize that they were doing transplant on the pancreas.
Do some, but they don't do them too often. They usually do them with the kidneys only, and never on a heart transplant patient. Never, never. But I went under, knowing I probably wouldn't survive, and that was 2 years ago in May. I have about 4 years to live, but guess what? Ain't gonna happen. I'm gonna be here a long time.
Marnie, do you have anything to add?
Good for you.
Marnie, do you want
to? No, I'm just kind of in awe of everything you've been through.
Yeah.
It's too
big for my own
story.
Head. It's too big for my own head. That's why I like to tell people. I'm the foolish thing in the world. I don't know how to handle this, you know.
Yes. But, you know, I think your positive attitude plays so much into it. It really does.
Yeah. You know, I've seen it even with
cancer patients and with everything like that. If you can keep that positive outlook, it really does help.
Yeah, and you know what I share with people, and I have two books out. I'm working on the third nonfiction. I had a woman call me, maybe a year ago, and she says, I am absolutely an atheist. I said, okay. I don't know who she is. You know, everybody's got my number. And she says, and I hate Christian women. I wish they'd all die. I said, okay. This is a good start. That's all right. I can handle it. Hey, whatever, you know. And she said, and I'm going through cancer, and somebody wants me to read your book, and you have to tell me why I should read your book. I said, well, she goes, and I want you to have lunch with me. I want to meet you. I said, okay. Figured it better be a public place, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I met with her. We spent 5 hours together.
Wow.
I loved her. She said, I adore you. She read my book, and she promotes it every time she can. Because it is a combination of my faith in God, who I believe in, my story, and my gumption to live and my attitude. And you can get up, and people say, well, I'm not like you. I don't have your personality. Da-da-da. Doesn't matter. You can be like me. Everybody's got the same amount of strength to call on.
I think they don't realize how much strength that they actually
nobody
have.
Does. We don't even know how much capacity our mind has to be smart. We don't use, what percentage of our mind do we use? I don't know. But then, you know, when you have to survive and you look around, and a lot of people do this behind closed doors, they suffer in silence. You don't even know how bad people suffer. You see somebody in the store and all you think is, oh, they look really happy. They must have a great life. They're skinny. They're perfect. They got a brand new car. You have no idea. If we would look at
each
other.
I do say this a lot because my grandmother, actually she had passed away in like 101, but I hear her words a lot. But and one of the things that she always said is when you're in a restaurant, wherever you are, and you're looking at someone, you go like, oh, I'd like to be like them. You don't know what their problems are. You have no idea.
Everything looks
a certain way, but so you should just want to be yourself. Don't worry. It's like don't be envious of somebody because you don't know what's happening in their life. I mean, they can have the worst life ever.
I'll tell you what. People look at me, and I start telling them what I've been through, and they're like, no way. I'm going to be 53. Most of the students I talk to think I'm like maybe 32. And I went kayaking a few months ago. Yeah, I went kayaking with a bunch of friends. We did a 20-mile round trip. You know, kayak trip, I was kayaking, jumping off rocks, swimming in caves, you know, waterfalls. And we get back to their house, and they're having dinner, and like, oh, my gosh. I said, what are we doing next? And they just looked at me like, oh, my
energy.
God.
Yeah,
and where's the energy from? It's not from pills or energy drinks or anything. It's the ability to say, I live today, I look forward to tomorrow, and I'm going to live every day like, you know, they say, well, live every day like it's your last day. Whoever, nobody ever takes that to heart.
Yes.
And I said to someone this weekend, if you told me I only had 24 hours to live, you know, what would you do if you had 5 days to live, 24? You know what I said? I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I just sit
because
there and
you've
wait.
Done, you're doing it as if you're
I've
doing
done
it
it
on
all.
A daily basis. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done it all. And one thing I struggled with this past year, and I just saw my heart donor's family, this little beautiful 13-year-old girl that died trying to save her cousin from a drunk driver that was an illegal person here outside of Dallas. And I met her family. And the hardest thing for me was that I said, I wish that God would just take me so you could have your beautiful daughter back.
Yeah.
And they looked at me and they said, no, because she loved everybody and everybody loved her. And because of you, the whole world gets to hear her story.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, the Dallas, Texas newspapers covered it and everybody, and it was on. It was just the most beautiful thing.
Well,
don't
you think it's good now that they're letting people see the door? I mean, because years ago they didn't.
Oh, I wish they would do it so much more. I know.
Yeah. Because I do think that really sometimes it's good for both people, you know, both families to see.
Well, it is a thing where it's a privacy rule, and when you have a transplant, you can fill out papers that you want to meet them, and the donor's family can too. And you have to sign kind of waivers that if it doesn't go well, you know, you don't hold anybody responsible. It is a rare thing to meet the families. Yeah. And I've met both my families. And both of us, both families and I, have What a healing. What a healing. And we plan yearly memorials and picnics.
So you have a connection with them. You feel the connection.
Oh, yes. Yes. And that's another thing I'm going to be adding in my fiction books, which I never believed as a staunch New Yorker. You know how we are, very practical.
Yeah.
And I have taken on personality traits of my donors.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a bizarre thing,
Marcia. You know, that's what they do say, yeah.
I know. I never believed it, but it is true. And I'm not talking weird stuff, and I'm not talking...
Right, good stuff. Right.
And I'm not talking I'm going to go out and murder someone. Or some
right,
people take
right,
it
right.
way too far, you know, or you get movies that distort it. No,
yeah,
I'm just talking about a connection.
Yeah.
A cellular memory connection that is allowed, and there's a spiritual connection there. You know, that person still lives. I mean, you know, my heart donor's mom, every time I visit, she gets to take a stethoscope I got her and listen to her little girl's heart beating in my chest.
Yep.
How can you, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it is.
And now,
it's,
you know, I keep thinking what has happened to me with my, and you know what? I have to tell women, don't hate them. It happens more to women. Usually when women leave a man, they just leave. They pack up and they leave. Men,
yes.
for some reason, are stupid about it. You know, with my situation, okay, you want to leave. You're sick of me being sick. You don't want to be part of my life. But don't do it in a way that spits in your wife's face or makes her feel totally belittled. This has been a battle for my heart and soul. And sometimes these men get so caught up in what they think happiness is for them that
yeah.
they forget that they're destroying somebody else's life, and now that person's a victim. And I read a good article from a psychologist who said, you know, the one who decides to leave has the upper hand usually, and the one left behind is the one who is left to cry and wonder and why, and they're wrenching with pain. They can't get out. I didn't get out of bed for a week. And then when the one who decided to leave adds insult to that by spitting in their face pretty much, or saying, oh, well, hey, I'm taking my new girlfriend out the next night. I don't care if you're in bed dying. Or they turn their backs on their children. Or they think, okay, I've got my life now. I'm done. I'm free. Don't bother me anymore.
There's a caller. I don't know if she wants to talk. Or I think I might know who this is, and I think it might be okay. Hi, it's Marcia.
Okay,
do you want to talk? Do you want to talk or no? No, maybe not. No.
Oh, are you talking to me?
Do you want to talk?
No, I lost Sam, so I called in to hear the rest of the show.
Oh, okay, all right.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to put you back out. Okay, all right.
Okay,
do you want to talk or no?
But,
no. No, okay.
No.
Okay. All right,
yeah.
I put it back. Yeah,
well,
yeah, I can't tell on here when I'm on the line because
I know.
I'm the only one right here.
Yeah.
You know what I
would love to spare other women from, and this to me, we have had problems in the 31 years, it happens, but I never expected that the man I was married to for 31 years and knew, his grandmother used to push me around in a baby carriage in New York. So I never,
Let me ask you, all right, so you knew him for all these years, okay, and so,
yes.
you know, I think this is probably a question that people would want to know. All right, you know, like, you've had a lot of years with him, and some bad, some
yes.
good. Did you
yes.
ever before feel like you wouldn't be spending the rest of your life with him? Did you have any feeling of that, or did you just,
it just caught you like
1, 2, 3, it just... Really
no, I did occasionally. There's been problems. There's been moments where I thought, oh, my gosh, I never thought to leave him. Now that I look back, there was a lot of control issues, and, you know, that happens a lot. And I think lots of times men, when things in life are extremely difficult, sometimes it's not anybody's fault. It's just that... They want things orderly. They want things to work out a certain way. And men that are either needing to run away or whatever, get some help from men in your life or a trained professional. Now, sometimes you go to a trained professional and they tell the men, hey, do what makes you happy, you know, and leave your wife. You're probably disrespecting her by staying with her. That isn't going to help anybody's marriage. That's only going to push that marriage into definite failure. So get the right person to talk to. But, you know, men go through this just like women go through their changes. We are the ones that are called dramatic, but men tend to be the ones that need more support. And as a caregiver, a man needs more support, but they don't want to ask. They're meant to battle for their husband, battle for their families, battle for their wives, battle for this, earn the money. And yet they have a soft heart inside that they aren't allowed to show.
Yeah.
And what I say is get help the minute you feel that things are wrong. Because I knew things were not that great, but I did everything I could and tried to offer and this and that. But I guess, and, you know, I did everything I can to accommodate him. And he tells me I did. It wasn't anything I did. But he kept telling me, well, I feel that I'm operating on fumes. And he has said that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I said, well, do something about it. Obviously, I don't know what to say to you. And sometimes marriage counseling doesn't work because the guy himself needs to get his own help.
Right,
but,
right. You see, right. It's not always,
yeah.
You know, right. You know, I don't know if you saw that movie, I don't know if you, Hope Springs. It's with Meryl Streep.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked to some people about it. You know, they were talking about it. And absolutely, her fears and whatever was happening in her life as Meryl Streep was in it, you know, and
yeah.
She was wonderful.
Oh, yeah,
in
I
it.
Watched it. And, yeah, I'm not quite sure how I feel about it yet. But yeah.
How do you feel? I'm just going to say, because that was, you know, all right, she was not happy in her marriage because her husband wasn't giving her the attention that she wanted. And she decided to go for counseling in another city and do a whole thing. And I think it was I think, you know, naturally she's a wonderful actress, but I do think that she worked it out in, they both worked it out, the husband and wife, in their own way, but it wasn't all smooth. Like, you know, sometimes when you see in a movie, you go like, oh, fine, the husband's going to go and follow the wife, you know, and whatever she wants. But it wasn't really like that.
No,
it wasn't.
There were
very disappointing moments for her.
That's right. And this isn't about creating more bras to burn and more women to be rebellious and go home and kick your husband and say, get up, you lazy bum, you can't watch football. It's not about that. It's about owning what you are and who you are and not enabling a man to treat you that way, but to, you know, we get very passionate, many women. There's men that get passionate. So keeping in mind that to cut it off at the pass before it happened. Now, I went for marriage counseling by myself all of last year. I tried. And then you have all the friends that's, you know, it's good to get counsel from people around you. What I'm learning right now is a friend called me and she said, what would you say to me? She's going through a divorce also after a long time of marriage. We're going through it at the same time. It's sad. It breaks both our hearts. We don't want to go through a divorce. We really don't. We'd rather work it out. We're both willing to forgive and keep. I mean, look at it. I'm going to be 53. My husband's 54. The house is getting paid off. We're ready for retirement. Go to warm places, and then boom, everything's gone out from under me.
Do you think there's somebody else out there? Do you think there's somebody else out there for you?
I don't know. I can't even imagine. I you know, and of course people start saying, oh, there's something better for you, and oh, there's a reason, and oh, there's something different up ahead. I live every day with expectation. I don't live it with an agenda. I just live it with expectation.
Right, you know, because sometimes, you know, like in the romantic world, let's say romance, okay, you know, like we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, every book, they want to have a happy ending, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and when you look at this and you see how your life is going, you are happy right now. You're feeling good. You're going out there,
much
you're doing things, but you're not with a man right now, so that happy ending
is still
a happy ending without that.
You know, it can be, and people say, well, I don't have that strength, or I don't have it in my personality. Make it happen. If you want to stay alive, make it happen, because it's bad enough for my health, the stress, and the loneliness, and the desperation, but it's bad enough for any woman especially. And we take so much on. Lots of times there's children involved and finances and all that stuff. Get up each day. Go find a place. You know, oh, they say, well, I did this like cardiac rehab one time. And all these gray-haired people are in there. Sweet, you know. But they're telling me, and I'm only like what? Like, I don't know, 44 at this age. And they said, oh, there's plenty of young people doing this. I'm like, I'm the only young person in this room.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they're like, okay, let's lift our knees. And I'm like, oh, God, help me. The next thing you know is the counseling session.
Yeah.
What causes you stress in your life? And they're saying, finances, my health. And I said, I raised my hand. I said, wow, I get really stressed when my tomatoes don't ripen in the fall. And she's like, oh, I see we have a wise guy here. And I'm like, why do we have to concentrate on what stresses us out? Why don't we concentrate on what makes us stronger?
Yeah, so you think when you went to this seminar that you had, they didn't go back and talk about what your mother did to you or your father did to you.
No, you know what? I am so sick of hearing that.
It's time for us to take responsibility for ourselves.
Oh, no. I went to two counselors recently, and the first one that said, write a letter to your mother, I thought, that's it. I'm out of here.
Why do they do that? I wonder, why would they do that?
I don't know. Like, you're supposed to write about how you feel, and then you rip it up, and then once you rip it up, you're done with it. No, that is so funny. That is not real.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear that. You know, all these years I've been sick, and my third book is going to be, like, Living God's Will for Your Life. What is it like to live this way? I had no surgery so many times from skin cancer, okay? And
yeah.
I have people come up to me. My nose is completely bandaged, all right? I just had the whole left side removed and put back on. You know what they say? Because they don't know what to say. Oh, it looks great. I'm like, it looks great? How the heck does my nose look great? It's covered with bandages.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, and I said to one person, you know, I'm a good person. But I looked at her and I said, go look in the bathroom mirror. Look at your nose. Tell yourself it looks great. Now picture it with half of it missing.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it looks great. You'll be missing your own nose.
Yeah.
What do we do to people that are sick? It'll be okay. I'll bring you soup. No. Listen to them. Reach out. Touch them. Don't send a text or a phone call. If you live near them, bang on the door till they answer. Yeah.
Well, I think
and
sometimes
yet,
people feel, that's a good thing to say, because I think sometimes people feel, oh, maybe they shouldn't do that, but I think that's a time when you absolutely need friends.
It's true.
To
and
say
you know what's really sad? What happens, I'm learning for myself firsthand, because my third book is all about how to treat people. And I have to do an article soon for a magazine for home health care workers on how to be empathetic towards the people they take care of, how to treat them as a whole person. As a real person. And I was thinking about it. I got to get it written. I have like 1 week left. But this retreat helped. But how do you treat someone? Well, I have seen when people go through divorce, they're outside the city. Remember in the old days in Israel and all those places when people had leprosy, they were put outside the city. And nobody went out there. You don't want to become a leper. And I have seen people from every walk and every faith, they go through a divorce and people scatter. They're dirty now.
Yeah.
Either they scatter or they
it's really
want to take them out to party.
That really is a shame, you know. And you know,
it
those
is.
Things happen in life. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, I think sometimes, you know, we do live in a world where people don't have the heart that they need to have, you know.
No,
and
they don't.
Sometimes, you know, you just have to have some heart and some feeling.
I know.
You know, because...
And I know, I know.
It's sad. I mean, I think people have forgotten that. And I think, you know, I mean... I'm looking on Facebook and I'm seeing all these people and I'm thinking to myself, I mean, there's so much going on there and a lot of people are writing in, especially about this subject, that their husbands have left them and, you know, and so I didn't, you know, I'm paying close attention to that certainly after I was talking to you, but I paid attention to that anyway because I do know people that this happened to. And I do that women do have strength. And I do think
they are
strong in many
ways. I mean, I have received so many comments. And as you've seen on Facebook, I am terribly transparent.
Yeah.
But I have, I made that public proclamation a little while ago about my husband. He's taken his affairs public. So, and I have people writing me saying, you have not defamed, nor have you made your husband look bad. You have done it in a way that encourages me.
I think that's true because, you know, when I saw what you wrote, I didn't really think about what your husband was doing or whatever. I was just thinking about you and how much you had withstood in the last few years, not knowing about the second transplant. And I'm thinking to myself, you have
just
done...
just living every day as a transplant patient.
I mean, because that is, in itself, not easy.
No.
You know,
and I have
you're
gotten so many messages. Yeah. You know, here's a woman. I'm so glad you shared and were honest and transparent. I've been dealing with the same thing for 5 months. It's a little easier, but I'm an emotional mess. Yeah. And there's one woman, and she's going through this, and she was married 41 years. And I just can't imagine. And the same thing over and over again. People are either public about it or they write me in private and say, thank you for being so honest on here. You're helping us understand. And I don't want to hate this man that has left me. I still imagine that somehow, some way, there would be a chance. And people think I'm crazy because there's been other issues in our 31 years of marriage. But he will not... I don't believe, not it's not about me or not about us or anything, but at 54 years old, when you decide you've got to be looking like you were when you were 24 by going to the gym 6 days a week and hooking up with younger women and playing his guitar in bars, and he wants to be 24. He's not accepting aging well. He doesn't want to accept his aging. You know, people say that, oh, she's not aging well. She doesn't like the bags under her eyes. Men do it too. They're just as vain.
Yeah.
And I
think it's probably
like
true. They don't talk about it much. They don't do a lot of this, but right. You know,
no.
And you know,
but
look at, I mean, if you look at all the magazines,
talk.
You know, we're all used to magazines, beautiful women on TV, you know, and everybody wants to look a certain way. So it is difficult in this kind of society. So, you know, and then, you know, when the man leaves, or the women, there are women that have left men. You know, I mean, they're the ones that the men lose their faith in the woman that they're married to. So, I mean, it can work both ways. You know, I kind of noticed that when I was writing this up. I'm thinking like, oh, I'm writing, you know, man, you know, that the man, has, you know, do you have a cheating husband? But, you know, that's the common denominator, but it really could go the other way, too. I mean, you know, it's just how it is. But there are more women on Facebook and in these groups. You know, I have more women on my shows than I do men, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but that is who listens. And, you know, certainly, I mean, it's interesting because there are a lot of, like, romance writers that are writing as men. They are men, and they have true heart and feelings. See, I think, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that their men do have
a
lot of feelings.
No, we forget because they're quiet and they don't talk. Yeah. But when you learn to, I wrote a blog post 2 years ago. It's called Chatterbox. Because ever since I was a little girl, Chatterbox, Chatterbox. I'm happy about life.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I hear people. I've done crisis counseling, but I love life. Even as a little girl, I took the train to Manhattan to go to a show at my sister's. And even the conductor
you're little, because I know I have mentioned that myself on the show, because I know that my mother is no longer alive, but I know, you know, that I used to say that when I was little, I would go to all the neighbors and talk to them. And, you know, which on my shows, a lot of times I have 5, 6, 7 guests and I don't mind it. And in my scripts and my books, I have a lot of characters. This is just, really do like to talk to people, and I really feel for people.
I do too. And I go out, I love it.
And
yeah.
I do too.
I have a
Chatterbox. Yeah, send that to me. Maybe I'll put it out.
I will, because you know what? It's like, why? We don't pick on the quiet ones. They don't get in trouble. They don't get picked on for being quiet. But the loud ones that are happy and excited, and that's what I am. I'm just happy and excited. I hear people. I counsel people.
Well, you're passionate about
what
you believe. I'm
on the road.
You're passionate on what you believe.
But the problem is that the ones that are loud are taken as being shallow people who don't hear anybody or anything. Not
we might
true.
We might have a call, and I don't know if this person wants to talk. I'll just see, because
okay.
I can't.
I'm going to put my I'll put it
hi.
On my Facebook page for now, the link for that
okay.
post.
Okay, hi, it's Martha.
Chatterbox.
Did you want to speak? You don't have to say anything if you don't want to speak. Okay,
hi, it's Mary Rita.
Oh, hi, how are you? Okay, you do want to speak then, right?
Hi, Marcia.
Hi,
sorry, I'm calling so late.
Hi, Mary.
No. Yeah.
Hi, Cindy.
You want to talk about? You wanted to say something, or?
I just heard the tale. I got home late from work, but I think this is a great idea for your show.
I sent you right. I sent you an
email. We might need a part two. You know.
Pardon?
We might need a part two.
Yeah, right. I think we do.
You know
I
what? I think it's a great idea because. I think women really, I think it's important for women to realize what they need. And sometimes the husbands don't last so long. Sometimes.
Yeah,
I know.
Not in Marcia's case,
yeah.
I know.
But she has
a wonderful husband, but.
Yeah, we won't talk about that because I'm so superstitious.
Oh, you're funny.
No.
Oh,
no,
you're
but
funny.
I am very superstitious. You know, I got that from my family, too. I could really
Are you saying
that you'd like to hear something like this? Well, maybe Cindy will come on again, I mean, and we'll discuss this.
I think it's a great – I just got home late and but having gone through
a lot.
I did survive the storm. I'm looking – I've been through the mill.
You have been through the mill, yes. And, but you go about your activities and you keep going on.
Yeah.
But
and I think what women need is to find a really good support system.
Yeah, you do. And I'll tell you that I have awesome female friends, awesome male friends, and narrow it down to one or two that you can share the worst feelings and secrets with, and guard your heart. And I have great friends, and they have great advice. But it's like that Old Testament story of Job, and he lost everything. Remember, his wife said, "Curse God and die. Get it over with." You know, that woman was a nut. But you know,
Mary, do not know about all of this. Yes, you do.
And all those friends of Job sat in this like circle, like, "Whoa, this is why it's happening," or "Don't do this," or "Don't say that," or "Don't do this," or whatever. And it spins your head in circles. And my friend said to me, "What would you do if I came to you distraught?" And I said, "Linda, I would hug you in person. I would tell you cry as much as you want. I would tell you to love your children, find your strength, take time away if you have to drive and sit in a parking lot of a grocery store for an hour and cry. And show your vulnerability.
Yes.
And take everything to heart, but take nothing to mind unless it's good for you."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah. And, you know,
you probably should start like a group, like, you know, the private groups where people can, you would put them in your group and then everybody can share, you know, to themselves, you know, with you.
You really need to be able to share.
Yeah. Because you're an excellent speaker.
You have to be in a safe, spot.
But then you also have to be careful because I found, I looked up websites and, Marcia, when I have more time, we'll get this better out. I looked at a lot of websites, and I'll tell you what, the internet is the most amazing thing in the world. I say it is, but it also can be the worst tool there is.
I know that. That's
You have to be careful. When I quote medical stuff, I do not quote from Joe's happy-go-lucky blog. I quote from proper sources, you know. Joe thinks he has the answer to everything. Yeah. And so I have nitpicked and gone through. I have read books. There's good, there's bad. I'm posting one on my Facebook page. I'll share it with you, Marcia. We'll get it to people. If they go to my website.
Anything you want to share, just send to me. I'll put it on one of my blogs, you know.
Marcia is wonderful about that.
Marnie,
she gets the word out.
Do you have a blog on your website, Marnie?
Yes.
And Marnie deals with a lot of
I'll be happy to share
issues.
It as well.
Yeah, and you know,
I'll share it on mine.
Yeah. I told you on Me, Myself, and I, and my websites need to be updated badly, which I'm working on. And, I need a manager. But anyway,
there's no one who could manage. That would be nice.
I'd like one.
Yeah, I know. But I found one called midlifeclub.com. And they never kind of were able to get back to my request to join the forums, but there are the most fantastic articles on that website, and they have saved my life.
Really?
Some of them have really gotten me through. It's just honest stuff. Now, they don't allow people to put stuff that's just hateful and I want to kill the person.
Good.
Yeah.
That's
they don't
good.
Do anything like that. What it is honest. How long does it take to recover? I used to cry out and say, how long is this pain going to rip through my heart? Will my husband ever turn around and come back? I know people locally by me that this has happened to. And sometimes the husband has left three different times. They've gone through a divorce, and he's come back.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gotten remarried. It takes work, and you don't want to do
it.
It
takes a lot of work.
That's right.
I'm gonna have you back. I want you to, you know, give your website and everything so people can find you, because, you know, you were traveling all day. You need to have some rest, I think, really.
Oh,
you know.
No, me? Rest? Yeah. What are you, crazy?
You need some rest. I don't even know but
no.
You need to take care of yourself.
You know, I have friends that say if you were ever 100% healthy, we wouldn't be able to handle being around you.
You need to be careful. You really need to care for yourself.
I know.
Yeah.
And you
That's
know what,
important.
Marcia, you better answer honestly. You're a Jewish woman in Chicago, okay? I am a New York Italian. Do we need a lot of rest, or does that stress us out more?
We don't need rest.
You take my energy.
Sometimes
you
I need
take,
rest,
yeah.
but I'd rather be up. I don't.
When
I
have to rest,
love, I like to be
yeah.
up.
I do
I
it.
Do
when
it.
I have to rest, I do it. Yeah, but
yeah.
we
well,
live.
But when
on
I have to rest,
okay.
there's no choice. There's no choice.
Hey, I survived 25 heart attacks.
Good
you know,
oh
well,
my
Mary,
God.
Mary, you have to go back and listen to the whole thing. It's quite
oh my God.
I will.
My doctor's
just got home.
Yeah, they're amazing.
All right, Marnie.
Yeah.
All right, Marnie, is that what you just said? Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Marnie. Call me tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow about this, and we'll talk more. Okay, Marnie, thank you so much.
All right, take care, everyone. Have a good night.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, and Marnie, her website will be putting on some health articles, too. Okay, she's finishing up a new website. Yeah. All right, so what I'm thinking is, so we'll have another show like this, because I think that really probably is necessary. And you're incredible. I mean, you really are. You've gone through a lot, so I hope people out there have listened and really felt better about themselves.
They need to.
Yeah. All right, give your website again so we know.
It's, you know, the easiest way to get to it, because my name is tricky. It's like scissors. It's an Italian name, but it's crazy.
I just spelled it wrong, and then I
spelled it. Aheartlikemind.com. Just aheartlikemind.com, and that'll get them to my website. And then there's links for my other websites. I'm working on updating this stuff, and I'm going to be republishing my books because of the lawsuit with the publisher. Lovely thing to go through along with everything else. But the one of them is in prison now for raping little girls. So,
Oh my God!
And who had to expose them? Women. Sorry.
All right, and I want to thank everybody that's been in the chat room for listening. And if there's any questions, you can look at www.worldofinknetwork.com or www.michiganavenue.com, and I'll get you to Cindy if you want to talk to her, or find her website, because sometimes nobody you're driving, because a lot of people listen on the phone or whatever, and they're.
I know.
Right, and so I'll help them out to find you, because, it's incredible what you've done, and it's very positive, and I think that if we had more positive feelings out there, women would feel better about themselves.
You
we
do,
need to,
and it's not, not pride and rebellion. It's about accepting and loving each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And treating each other with dignity. Yeah,
yeah, I think, and, just telling the truth. Just telling the truth. Yes. I think the truth is the best thing to say. All right. Thank you all.
Oh, yeah.
And Fran's show will be on. And, Fran Lewis has a magazine, and I'm going to she might want to put some of your articles in, because she's got a really great magazine, and this is she also does shows on Thursday, but she just started a magazine with tons of articles, and it's I'm sure she would like something like, because what you're saying, you're a caregiver, I mean, you have a lot of articles that would be interesting.
I do. I've been published in a lot. I just do it. Whatever goes in front of me, I do.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
All right, now go rest and relax, and thank you all. And thank you
put
so
your
much.
Feet up at least.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, you're so adorable. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, I'm Irish. So Irish from the south side of Chicago. So.
Well, I told her in the beginning I was staying near the abandoned Cook County Hospital.
Yeah. I know.
Oh,
really?
Oh my God.
Oh, so you're in Chicago?
I was
for the
pancreas transplant.
Yeah.
Oh, the story's bigger than my head. The story is way bigger than my head. It's just too much for me.
No, you're incredible.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you all for coming on and listening. And
sorry.
And go rest, okay? And I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, my gosh, Mama. Okay, Mama Marcia.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sending it to, and I'm not even a mom.
Okay, I'll go. But I got to unpack. I'm an OCD person. I'm only kidding.
All right, go do it. All right, take care.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Marcia.
Take care, Mary.
Bye. Take care, Marcia. Bye.
You too.